life lived apart from reverence, apart from obedience to God, is ultimately meaningless.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, I wonder, folks, have you ever thought about your philosophy of life? You know, we've been focusing for some time now on this concept of a worldview. That is, how do we view the world around us? How do we view life? How do we answer those important questions of life, such as, who am I? How did I get here? Where are we going? What is significant and important in life? Is there truth? Can we know truth? Well, I wonder, have you ever thought then about your personal worldview or your personal philosophy of life? Because the truth is while we may not be able to quite express it, the reality is everyone does have a philosophy of life. What they think is important. What are you living for? What matters to you? What is truly important? What are your priorities? All of these things are part of our philosophy of life. But in the end, some might ask, well, does it really matter? This person's philosophy of life is this. They're living for this. This person's living for that. This person thinks this is most important. This person thinks that is most important. You know, does it really matter? Just as long as, well, I guess we're just trying to be happy. Well, there's a philosophy of life right there, isn't it? Thinking that way about those kinds of questions. That it doesn't matter. Let everyone do it. Just try to be happy. So does your philosophy of life matter? Does it make any difference? Well, we're starting a new sermon series today, which will tackle those questions about philosophy of life, what matters, what is important. Does it make a difference? Well, our series then is covering, frankly, a challenging book of the Bible. A challenging one to understand and to put it in its context with the rest of Scripture. But it is a book, I think, that you'll see that is full of rich and deep insights into life and the importance of walking in fear and obedience to God. Because it is a book that will show us that there are, in the end, two basic philosophies of life, two ways of living. So we are approaching then now the book of Ecclesiastes. How many of you have read the book of Ecclesiastes? Okay, so that's one of those books in the Old Testament that somebody might skip through, or they might read it, oh, what is this? And it could be a little child, what is he talking about here? But the reality is it is a fascinating book, a fascinating study about life and what's really important, what matters. And I think we'll see that in Ecclesiastes there are two ways of living, two basic philosophies of life, if you will. One way of living is under the sun, living under the sun. Another way of living is living in the fear of the Lord. We'll see that life under the sun is life apart from God. Just thinking purely in terms of this world and the things of this world, the things that the world thinks are important, without respect to God. Life under the sun. That's one way of living, one philosophy of life. Another way of living is living a life in the fear of the Lord. That is acknowledging God, acknowledging the sovereign, eternal God who will judge everyone and everything. So we can live apart from God, not thinking in terms of the eternal God, or we can live in honor of God, in fear of the Lord, in obedience to God. One has suggested, you know, another way that we could think of this, these two ways of living, well, there you can have life under the sun, S-U-N, as the scripture in Ecclesiastes says, life under the sun, life in this world, apart from God, and it's ultimately vain, meaningless. Or you can have life under the sun, S-O-N, the Son of God. That's clever, isn't it? Life under the sun, S-U-N, life under the sun, S-O-N. That's clever, and I thought that'd be great, except there's one little problem with that. When you're speaking, I'd have to keep spelling out which sun all the time to clarify it. So you can think of it that way, and you may see it in print from time to time up there. But life under the sun, S-U-N, or life in the fear of God. These are the options before us here. See, the preacher, the author of Ecclesiastes, it is his contention, and I think he makes his case well, that life under the sun, that is apart from God, apart from the perspective of the eternal God and the significance that God's eternality brings onto the here and now and the everyday, that life under the sun is, in the end, meaningless or vain. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. It's vain, it's empty, it's fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's like a puff of smoke, a vapor. That word, which is translated vanity or meaningless, in the Hebrew, it literally means vapor. Life is like a vapor. Say, like if you walk in your kitchen now. Now, this is not something I have by personal experience. If you know me, you know I don't do a lot of cooking. So I don't have this by personal experience. But I've been told that apparently you can put like this thing, I think it's called like a pot or something. You can put on this thing, I think it's called a stove or an oven or something like that. And there's these burners on it apparently. And you put that in there and it will rise up. Then you heat up the water and this vapor or this steam will rise up. And you see that vapor and it's there one moment and then what? Poof, it's gone. It's gone like that. And so it is the contention of the preacher in Ecclesiastes here, that's what life is like apart from God. It's like that vapor that's here one moment and then boom, it's gone. And in the end you ask, well, what difference did it really make then? Does anything really matter? No, he says, you know, in fact, believe me, we'll see in a moment here, he tried anything and everything there was to find this meaning in life apart from God. In the end, he came to say, you know, human beings may accumulate many things. Materialism, possessions, wealth. We can accumulate many things. Or we can experience great pleasures. We can even accomplish much civic endeavors and do things that we think are going to outlast us. We can build great things, great buildings, great projects. We can even achieve great knowledge and understanding and even have great wisdom. But in the end, no matter how much money you make, how much stuff you get, how many pleasures you experience, how many accomplishments you leave behind you, or even how wise you become, how knowledgeable you become, in the end, your life and all of that is like that what? That vapor, that puff of smoke. And when it's gone, it's gone. And you see, that's life under the sun, apart from God. In the end, life under the sun, life apart from God, does not profit a person eternally at all. Because all of those things, and even good things, you know what? There are good accomplishments. It's good to be wise and knowledgeable. But apart from God, it's empty and meaningless. All of these things are worthless apart from a right relationship with the eternal God. Well, as we begin this new series today, I want to ask a question then, some brief background information. Ecclesiastes, who wrote this book and when and to whom and why? Well, the text tells us that the author of this book will say, for sure, we'll call him the preacher. The Hebrew word is koheleth, which means the leader of an assembly or a teacher. You may see that in some translations, the teacher or the preacher or the leader of the assembly. Well, who is this preacher? Well, I think when you look at the evidence from inside the book, and there's some debate about how to understand certain things, I think you see the most likely preacher is Solomon, King Solomon, David's son, Solomon. And it's true that his life best fits the contents of this book as well. You know, I've always found the story of Solomon, it's a fascinating story. The here, boy, you talk about, how many of you think that, boy, you know, if God just blessed me with everything imaginable, well then, oh, what a wonderful life that would be, and I would honor God and bless God all the days of my life. You think that's true? If God gave you everything you could possibly want, well then I would just rejoice and bless God all the days of my life. Well, the reality is, some of us already know, that sometimes one of the biggest spiritual challenges we might face is handling or dealing with blessing, isn't it? That can be a real test. We are tested when we are undergoing suffering or lack. But you know, there's another test, and that is when we're given much. That can be a temptation too, can it? But Solomon was given everything. And very early in his life, God told him, ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you. And what did Solomon ask for? Now, he could have asked for riches or fame or any, but what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. Isn't that a great thing to ask for? And God was pleased with that. And God gave him great wisdom. And early in his day, he became famous, world famous for his wisdom. We even have that expression today, don't we? The wisdom of Solomon. And he wrote many of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. Solomon was a wise man. This was the gift of God to him, this wisdom. And yet, isn't it fascinating how the man who had it all, and God gave him great wealth then. God gave him great power. God gave him great wisdom. All of these things. But was he faithful to God, though, because God gave him all this? Sadly, the answer is no. The man who was given everything turned away from God and followed after idols. As we go through the book of Ecclesiastes, we'll see these are not merely the ruminations on a theoretical level of a wise man about what's important in life. This is an older man looking back, reflecting on what he knows not only in his head, but by experience in life. He tried it all. He tried to find great meaning and satisfaction in life apart from God. And he couldn't find it. He didn't. He saw that it was all vain, empty, a puff of smoke, a vapor. But later in his life, I think he came back to realize his foolishness. Isn't it something? The wisest man who ever lived, he's called, became a what? A fool. So being wise in and of itself is not protection from foolishness, is it? From folly. What is protection from folly? Living life in the fear of God and obedience to his commandments. That's protection from folly. Because even the wise, if we no longer fear God and live in obedience to him, we become fools. Solomon became a fool. So probably Solomon is the author, the preacher. Around 935 BC, this would have been toward the end of his reign as king. He was writing it to the people of Israel. And why was he writing this to them? Well, because he was answering a question. What is the meaning of life? And it shows us then that a life lived apart from God, that is life under the sun, is ultimately meaningless. And the key word there is ultimately. Solomon is not saying, and I'm not saying here either, that life has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. You know, if life apart from God, it doesn't matter what you do, there's no meaning absolutely whatsoever. No, the issue is from the perspective of eternity and what ultimately matters forever and ever and ever. From that perspective, life apart from God is ultimately what? Empty and vain and pointless. Because only one who is eternal can bring meaning to the here and the now. And so apart from the eternal one, this life is ultimately meaningless. Absurd, even. How many of you think life is absurd? Certainly can't. Life under the sun is absurd.
Overrated.
You know what? Wealth. Solomon tried that. Possessions. Yep. Achievements. Physical pleasures. Knowledge. And even wisdom under the sun fail to satisfy. Many of us have learned this by personal experience, haven't we? Maybe we've heard it, we've read it, we've been told, but then we've learned, you know what? Wealth, possessions, achievements, pleasure, knowledge, wisdom, all of these things, there's just something missing. There's something missing. And it's ultimately futile from the perspective of eternity. So we see then that the meaning of life, the meaning of life then, is not something that can be discovered by ourselves. The meaning of life is not something for us to make up. Well, for me, life is this. Kind of like for like some in our society now that think truth is relative, right? Well, for me, the truth is this or the truth is that. Truth is not relative. Truth corresponds to reality, regardless of my opinion or your opinion or anybody else's opinions, all right? Well, in the same way, the meaning of life isn't just something we just make up. There is a meaning in life. And Solomon reveals that to us. What is that meaning? Well, God has revealed that the meaning of life, the purpose of life, that what it's all about is to know Him. To know God, to fear Him, to keep His commandments, and to live in the knowledge and the realization that God is going to judge everyone and everything. Here it is again, that statement you've heard many, many times. Here it is again today. Sometimes we look around at what's going on in the world, the things that are happening, and we are properly distraught by them. And it just seems like people are just getting away with things. Why does it seem like sometimes, you know, the good have evil things happen to them and the bad sometimes they prosper and people seem to just get away with things? Our justice system is flawed, inadequate. I don't think any of us would argue with that. But are people really getting away with anything? No, because the truth is this. There is no such thing as ultimate injustice in the universe because God is going to have the final word and He will judge everyone and everything. So what is Solomon's purpose? It's to show us that life apart from God, apart from the fear of God, is meaningless, is pointless, is empty. But life that is lived in the fear of God, that's why we're here. To know Him, to live in reverence and obedience to Him. knowing that He will have the final word with everyone and everything. So life lived apart from reverence, apart from obedience to God, is ultimately meaningless or empty or like a vapor that's here one moment and gone the next. The preacher tells us this: the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. That is a thrilling, uplifting introduction to this book and to our sermon series, isn't it?
It's true without the Lord.
But it's true without the Lord, and that's the point. Some have read the book of Ecclesiastes, some believers, and they think, what is this book doing in the Bible? This thing is so dark and depressing. And to which I say, yeah, it's supposed to be, because life apart from God is what? Dark and depressing and meaningless. I'm not saying that life lived apart, that everybody is going around all dark and depressed. But in the end, though, the truth is, life is dark and depressing and meaningless, ultimately, apart from God, isn't it? So, yeah, it's supposed to be depressing because he's talking about life apart from God. But here's the good news, though. He is reflecting on all of that, and he's showing the futility of life apart from God. And then he brings us to a conclusion about it all. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring everything into judgment. Everything that is hidden, He will bring to judgment. All is vanity. Do you believe that? Do you really think? Again, this vanity, remember, this meaninglessness, this emptiness, the word there literally means a vapor like steam. A puff of smoke. Here one moment, gone the next. Life is like that, though, isn't it? Remember when you were a little kid? Some of you are little kids right now. Right here. You think your life is a long time, don't you? You're going to be alive a long, long time. Life, man, you're going to be alive forever in this world, it seems like, right? Sometimes your school year, right? It seems like, when is this school year going to be over, right? I'm getting a few nods right there. School year seems like forever, let alone our lives. But then you start getting a little older, and what happens? All of a sudden, it seems like the pace starts picking up, right? and faster and faster. Now, it isn't actually going any faster, is it? But boy, it sure seems like it, doesn't it? The older we get, the faster seems to go by. And I remember when I was a teenager, my mother telling me, Dan, life is going to go by much more quickly than you realize. And I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. But when you're a teenager, what? You're immortal and you're going to live forever, right? And then I start getting a little bit older. And I'm sure you've probably all done it too. There comes a point in your life where you start comparing your age to the age of like other of things that are happening in the world. How old someone was when they accomplished this and that, and you're like, well, what have I done in that, right? And so you start thinking, and you start realizing now that now you're like older than your sports heroes, some of you that love like your baseball players. All of a sudden you realize, then one day you realize, gee, you're old enough to be their parent, yeah, of your, you know, or their grandparent even, right? But all of a sudden, and then how about this one? And I know I'm probably not the only one that does. How about you hear that someone has died, and your first question is maybe a famous person. It's always, how old were they, right? We're always looking at, how old were they? And someone's like, oh boy, that's pretty close to me. And then all of a sudden you start seeing people who are younger than you that are dying, right? You see, life, apart from the eternal God, is a vapor. It's vanity. Meaningless from the perspective of the here and the now. Solomon is going to show us, and we're going to go through this book by looking at some of the things that the wisdom that he has to tell us, to show us the vanity of everything apart from God. How about wisdom? Well, wisdom is good, right? Well, yeah, wisdom is better than folly. But the reality is both the wise and the fool die. Well, how about wealth? Wealth is good. How many of you think wealth beats poverty? Well, it can. Sometimes, actually, poverty can be better spiritually for us, right? But I don't think poverty is a good thing. But you know what else is not a good thing? The pursuit of wealth and the accumulation of stuff. Living for that, that's vain too. That's empty. So we're advised what? Work diligently, invest wisely, and trust everything to God. But don't pursue wealth because that is vanity. How about politics and earthly glory and fame? How many of you think politics is vain? Boy, we're going to get a really good dose of that this year, aren't we? It's depressing, isn't it? We already have. It's depressing to think about what's to come in the next months ahead. Until November. Political power is short-lived. Corruption is rampant. Isn't it funny to hear a man in 935 BC talking about how horrible corruption in politics is? The more things change, the more they stay the same, right? But what does he tell us? But God will have the final word. How about friendship? Friendship is good, right? Well, yeah, it is. Friendship is good, but in the end, does that matter eternally apart from God? No. How about religion? Religion's important. Well, Solomon shows us that, you know, the human ability to understand and please God is limited, isn't it? What can we really know of God? Well, what we can know is only what he has revealed of himself. And we come to know and need and acknowledge our need for his grace and his mercy. So these and other topics, Solomon is going to show us that, you know, apart from God, it's empty, it's vain, it's meaningless. And he shows us that, what, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. So live in the light of that. He also shows us what, there is no meaning or there is no satisfaction in creation itself. I'm not saying that God has made all things, and there is joy to be found in His creation. There is meaning and satisfaction to be found in His creation, but only in the context of a right relationship with Him. Because apart from Him, it's vain and meaningless. We cannot find meaning or satisfaction in the created things, only in the Creator. How about this one? I bet some of you, maybe you're not as familiar with the book of Ecclesiastes, but I bet you are familiar with some expressions from it. How about this one? There's nothing new under the sun. Well, that's where it comes from, and that we just read it. What did Solomon mean? What do you mean there's nothing new under it? Have you seen my wonderful new iPhone here, or my tablet? There's all kinds of new things under this. He's not saying that new things don't come along, new technologies, new things. He's saying, though, that in the end, from the grand scheme of things, is there anything that is truly new? No, what he's saying is that a new toy is not a new thing, because people have had new toys. Now, what the toy is may be different, but the idea of a new toy and finding satisfaction in your toys, that isn't new at all, is it? Boy, I tell you, this political campaign, this is the worst that's ever been. I got news for you, it's been worse. And in fact, did you know in the past, people literally died? I mean, we've got it rough now with these politicians. Right now, like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, in an earlier era, they would have been standing apart from one another at 20 paces with pistols. For real. Because it happened. You don't believe me? Look up Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, the vice president and former secretary of the Treasury back in the 1800s. It got so bad, one of them actually, Hamilton, got shot and killed over it. So it's horrible, but you know what? This isn't new. There really isn't anything new under the sun. And you know what? Fame and glory are fleeting too. So what we've read here today is an introduction to show us something. What? Show us what? So what? By the way, have you noticed the imagery here? That's a sun up above, life under the sun. And as we progress down, how things get grayer and grayer, right? So what do you want me to take away from this, you're asking? Well, I want to remind us that life lived apart from reverence and obedience to God is ultimately meaningless, a vapor. But I'm going to jump ahead to the conclusion. What kind of a responsible preacher would do that? To jump ahead to the conclusion before we even get... Well, because I want you to see where we're going. Because frankly, some of this, it is kind of dark and depressing. So I want you to see where Solomon is taking us. I've already told you before, but here it is. Right at the end of the book, how does the book end? The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Life under the sun, life under the fear of God, lived in the fear of God. Choose wisely. Are you living life under the sun? Or in the fear of the Lord? Are you living for the things of this world, for the here and the now? Or are you living for eternity in the fear of the Lord? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word, which very clearly spells out for us the truth that You want us to know, to understand. But Lord, I pray that with this, as with all things, Lord, that this wouldn't just simply be an accumulation of knowledge or understanding that would go locked into our brains and make no real difference in our lives. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would convict us of temporal attitudes or placing our hopes and our trusts in the things that are vapors, that are fading away, that are ultimately empty and futile and vain. Lord, you are the only thing, the only one who is worth worshiping, is worthy of our worship, of our adoration, of our trust, of our faith, of our fear, of our obedience. May we turn away from the empty things of this world and embrace you, Lord Jesus, who are our hope. You are our hope for eternity. Teach us, Lord, through the wise words of this book to live in obedience to you. And let us not make the same mistake that Solomon made. He had it all. You gave it all, Lord, and he still turned away. May we be found faithful and endure to the end by your grace and your mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.